Hey there, I want to invite you to join me for the Strategic Summer Workshop, which is taking place on Thursday, May 30th at 11:30 Eastern. You can go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer to sign up. In this workshop, I'm going to walk you through how to identify simple solutions and systems that will make a massive difference and ripple effect inside of your center. I'm going to help you create efficiency where you need it most and understand what is causing your school to feel so hectic and where those big pain points are. We're going to clarify your center's priority system to improve this summer. I'm going to show you how to audit those systems. We're going to define your desired outcomes, and you're going to leave the workshop with a simple plan that will make huge impact. And by simple, I mean very simple. No complex, no multi-step processes, super, super simple. No one has time for long things. No one has brain capacity for extra stuff. We need simple things that have massive impact. Go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer and I'll see you there.
Welcome to the Schools of Excellence podcast, where we have conversations about education, leadership, and building a school of excellence. The goal on this show is to bring you clarity, up-level your mindset, and give you practical strategies and inspiration so you can show up with confidence and trust your decision-making. I'm Chani Olshansky. I'm a mom of four under 10, a former New Yorker, and been in the early childhood field my entire life. And I'm so grateful that you've joined me for this conversation.
Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of the Schools of Excellence podcast. This is a very interesting episode because it's actually something I've been wanting to do for a while, but I find that talking about this concept can sometimes feel ambiguous. So buckle up. We're going to be diving into the invisible labor of decision making. So a lot of what we're going to talk about today and what you're going to explore about yourself might really, really forever change the way you will look at daily decision making. Because my goal is in this episode is to really help you peel back all the onion layers of all of the components that it takes to actually make decisions in your position of leadership and the ripple effect of all the things that impact decision-making. So in a world where there is infinite choices, it can become really easy to focus solely on outcomes of like, okay, I have to go make this purchase. I have to go do this commitment. I have to, you know, go to this place or whatever it is. But there is a lot of layers of effort, thought, time that goes behind every decision and choice that we make. And so by the end of this episode, you'll see that every decision is not just this like destination, okay, I made the decision. It's a tapestry woven with threads of consideration, reflection, intention. And it's this like culmination of like this giant process that you went through in your head. So the invisible labor of decision-making is a term that really encapsulates a lot of the cognitive, emotional, and time, labor, and exertion that underpins every choice that we encounter every single day in our leadership. Okay. So it really, the invisible labor really gives a spotlight in the behind the scenes work that really goes unnoticed. That's why it's invisible labor, because a lot of the stuff that you're doing, it's intangible by nature. It's all the intellectual gears that get turned in the background. It's the emotional tug of war within. It's the allocation of time resources that collectively mold all of the decisions. Okay. So there's so many things that we're going to dive into today, but I want to kind of start from just kind of the five stages of decision making. And then we'll go into like all the different labor components of a decision. Now, the reason I'm diving into this is because if you're in a position of leadership and then you're building an org chart, right? And you're building an executive leadership team. So you have directors, assistant directors, HR, curriculum specialists, hiring, onboarding specialists, a VP of operations, managers, office assistants, whoever you have inside of your company. When you're delegating tasks, you have to delegate the invisible labor. Because if you only delegate the task, right? So if you only delegate, hey, you're now in charge of, I don't know, doing the winter festival, you're in charge of parent-teacher conferences, you're in charge of onboarding, It's not just about the button clicking associated with onboarding or scheduling the interview. It's all of the mental and invisible labor that it takes to run a particular task or project or make a decision. And this is why so many of you that are listening to this, even though you have big teams, you're still exhausted. You still are making all the decisions because you haven't delegated and fully offboarded the mental and invisible load that it takes to hold particular decisions. Okay. So let me break down a little bit of what I mean by that. Every single decision has layers. The first layer is the anticipation. You actually have to anticipate that a decision needs to be made, right? That is a big part of mental labor. So for example, let's take something outside of school. Winter break is coming up. Okay. So someone in the household or in the world recognizes, oh, it's November. Winter break is coming up at the end of January. That means that we will have to make a decision about what we're going to do for winter break, right? So someone is holding the mental load around anticipating that a decision will soon need to be made around what we're going to do for winter break or what we're going to do with the kids for summer. Are our kids going to camp? Are we, you know, flying somewhere? Are we visiting my parents? Are we visiting your parents? Are we, you know, do we have different work commitments this summer, right? It's anticipating that a decision will need to be made. Then there's identifying. There's identifying all of the different options around that decision. So let's keep the winter break. You know, let's run with that through line. So you have winter break coming. All right, well, let's identify what are all the different things we could do for winter break. Well, we could stay home. We can go somewhere. Well, we would have to identify all the different places we could go. We have to identify what the budget is. Do we have a budget for travel? Do we want to be traveling? Do we want to only travel somewhere that's car distance? Do we want to get on planes? Are we traveling internationally? Do the kids have passports? Like, there's all this identification of things that go into making the decision. We're not even up to the actual decision part. This is anticipating and identifying all the different, and this is invisible. This is all the mental gymnastics that you're doing before you even come to the table with co-decision makers. You're like, this is woo, everything going on in your head. And this actually takes time to do, okay? And we'll go into that shortly, but let me continue going down here. So one is anticipate, two is identify, three is decide. You actually have to decide, okay, we are going to go to the lake house. That is what we're going to do this winter break. Okay, so that's been the decision. Okay, now we have to go execute on that decision. We have to go book the lake house. We have to call the place. We have to put down the deposit. We have to do all the execution associated with that particular decision that we made, whatever it takes to execute. Okay, then we have to monitor that decision. So just because you decided in November that you're going to the lake house and you executed on it, right? You actually booked the lake house. Now there's monitoring of that decision. Okay, do we need to buy anything extra to go to the lake house? Where will we be eating when we're in the lake house? Will we be bringing food? Will we be going out to eat in restaurants? What are restaurants are there? Do they have our food preferences? Do our kids have any allergies? Does the restaurant accommodate that? Do we want to go out to eat for three meals a day? Is there a Walmart nearby? Is there Trader Joe's? Is there what food shopping is available? Do they have a fridge in the place that we're staying? Is there a table and chairs? You're monitoring the decision that you made. Now, if you're listening to this and your head's exploding, welcome to decision making, right? Like, this is all the stuff you're already doing. You're already doing this. I'm just making it visible to you. So these are all the things that someone, and if you're listening to this episode, it's probably you. You're the someone who is making all of these decisions. This is invisible labor. This is why you're tired. This is why your brain hurts at the end of the day. This is why when you come home and someone asks you a question or wants you to make a decision, you want to put your head through a wall. You're like, nobody make me make any more decisions. I'm done. Capped out for the day. Why? Well, because you've already made a million decisions. Okay. So let's go a little bit further. Okay. Let's go into what is the cognitive labor associated with making a decision. Okay. Well, there's information when you're making a decision, right? Like I was talking about the lake house, the way the pros, the cons, anticipate outcomes, envision potential scenarios. It's the underappreciated mental effort that goes into understanding the complex options and considering implications and predicting future repercussions. All of those things, right? So let's go into some examples in childcare. What cognitive labor goes into hiring, right? When you make a hire, you have to anticipate a lot of different outcomes of this hire. You have to envision potential scenarios that might come up with this individual. You have to look at, okay, what are the future repercussions of bringing this person into the business? So this is all the cognitive labor. This is, again, different than I conducted the interview. Okay, great. You conducted the interview. Okay, but now there's the cognitive labor part after the interview, right? So after you did the interview, your brain has to go into thinking mode and now saying, is this the right candidate? Do I see this person doing a good job, right? How does this fit into things? So that's the cognitive labor. Okay, let's go into emotional labor, okay? Emotional labor is all the intricate interplay of feelings that impact our choices. Fear, desire, doubt, excitement. Decisions are rarely rational, right? Emotions really sway us towards or away from certain choices. So you have to manage the emotional labor with making a particular decision. So when you're making a hire, so many times when I'm doing coaching calls with our legacy clients, our owner's clients, they're making particular decisions. What they're coming to me for coaching and support is the emotional labor associated with particular decisions that they have to make. And so they're trying to understand all the different components to it. So I'll give you an example. I did a legacy call a couple of weeks ago, and someone on the call was wondering if she should fire a particular employee who is kind of demonstrating their inability to be coached, but they do a very, very good job in the classroom. So like what they're doing right now is good. It's good enough, right? But she wants more. She wants excellence. And so this new candidate that she's looking at has, you know, higher levels of excellence, but she's worried about breaking what's working right now, right? Because like the devil we know is better than the devil that we don't know. And so she came onto the call and she's like, I need to weigh these things, right? It's the emotional labor of making this decision. So on the call, I helped her work through that. Let's go further. Time-related labor. In decision-making, okay, there is time investment to make a decision, whether it's poring over online reviews before purchasing a particular software, or sometimes simply choosing what to have for dinner, right, is also, you know, a time allocation of time. But let's go into choosing a software company or choosing to change routes to work with a different tech company. So you'll see this a lot in the childcare space. There is every day, I feel like there pops up another piece of software, another piece of technology, another app, another something that promises to be the golden ticket to solving all of your challenges inside of school leadership. And so every single software pops up and says, this does all the stuff. This is a one-stop shop. This is a one-stop everything. Okay. Number one, there is no software that solves all your problems. It doesn't exist. There is no thing in the world that exists that does everything for you. It doesn't work like that. Okay, nature doesn't work like that. Life doesn't work like that. Relationships don't work like that. There's no one person that's like, I found you and that's it. I don't need anyone else in my life. No, even the most amazing, healthiest marriages, hey, guess what? You need friends. You need family. You need other community in your life, not just your partner. We're not like these solo beings. So the same thing is when it comes to software, technology, applications. One application is not going to solve all your problems in your school. And I love all the software companies that exist inside of the childcare space. Shout out to all of our partners. However, no software company solves every problem. You need an interplay of different softwares. Okay, so then there's a time-related component to making a particular decision around, should we move to this particular software or curriculum, right? This is a huge thing I'm working on in this season. A lot of leaders are transitioning to new curriculums. And so there is a time-related effort, even after you make the decision, the monitoring of implementing that new curriculum is time. It's time because there is a giant learning curve every time you bring something new into the building. It's all the invisible labor associated with it. It's all the invisible load around the person who's implementing the curriculum. They have to wrap their minds around it first. They have to understand what the hell they're doing. Only then can they start teaching it to someone else. And here's the thing about visionary leaders, right? Because I'm there also. We underestimate how much time it takes to do something. That is part of being a visionary, right? Whenever I get onto quarterly calls, annual planning calls, kickoff calls, project calls, anytime I get on a conversation, I always think the project is going to take half the amount of time than the person on the call is saying it's going to take, right? So my head of marketing will come on and she'll be like, okay, these are the projects, you know, this is kind of the time. And I'm always like, what, really? It's going to take that long? I don't ask that anymore because like, I already know like that's how long it takes. But in the beginning, I always think everything takes shorter. Why? Because my brain doesn't see all the things that are associated with it. That's her job, right? She sees all the things associated with it. That's why she's the chief of marketing and not me. When I have an operations person, a membership fulfillment, all these people who are coming in, they're telling me what it takes to do X, Y, and Z because they see all the parts of that job. I don't. I see the vision. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're a visionary leader inside of your school, it's only normal that you are going to mess up the time-related components associated with making particular decisions or implementing things inside of the business. And so this is why educating your leadership team and helping them understand how to communicate back to you of like, hey, this project is actually going to take us a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of time to implement. It's going to take a lot of time to carry. It's going to take a lot of time for me to actually understand what this looks like. I say this all the time. Anytime you're switching softwares or switching tech or whatever it is literally trying to turn the Titanic around. It is so laborsome, so cumbersome, so time heavy and emotional heavy. And yet I see leaders switching softwares on the dime. It is not like that. Switching software is not like changing your t-shirt. It's not like taking off this t-shirt and putting on a different t-shirt. No, changing softwares is huge. It's huge to make that kind of decision. And it's very time sensitive. So when I say time labor, I'm not just talking about the time associated with making the decision that now you want to change over. There are implications to that decision. There is a lot of time to actually implement whatever it is you switched up to, which means during that time frame, you're not going to be able to do other things inside of the business. You can't do business as usual all the time. If you're implementing something new or you're bringing in this brand new thing into the business, that is the work of the business for that time period, which means you might not be able to do a particular event or initiative or festival or whatever it is because you guys are implementing a new software. And a lot of you are glazing over and you're like, I don't want to hear that. That's not true. But and I'm telling you guys, there is a cost for not understanding the time labor associated with implementing things. I just had a call 2 weeks ago with a group of directors and they are implementing a new curriculum inside of their school. And they're also onboarding a bunch of new families into the center. And they're also doing a transitionary period with a couple of students who are transitioning, not a couple, a lot of students that are transitioning from the toddler room up into the preschool room. And they also are in the process of transitioning to a new billing system. So like a whole new like payroll cycle. They're on the call with me. And I was like, all right, how can I help you today? And they're like, we're just so overwhelmed. We don't even know where to start. Our brain is hurting. I'm like, well, yeah, you're trying to do 5 new things at once. Your brain cannot hack this. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how many years of experience you have. You need to understand how the human brain works. You cannot implement 5 new massive things in 1 month. You can't implement a new curriculum and implement a new software and onboard 20 new families and transition these students and onboard 5 new teachers in the exact same 30 days. You cannot do that. Of course, your brain is hurting. Of course, you're exploding. Of course, you're just trying to put out fires because it's a lot easier to put out fires than it is to do this big stuff. This requires cognitive, mental, emotional, and time labor. So for those of you that are listening and wondering why some of your leaders are pushing things off or why they're putting out fires and why they're not spending time on this kind of stuff when they technically, quote unquote, have the time. Yes, physically on the calendar, they might have an hour or two to do certain things. But what you're not understanding is the invisible labor associated with something new. New, especially for someone who is not very keen to change. Which will typically be teachers, don't like change. Again, they're not entrepreneurs. You are. You are the visionary leader. The teacher, the director is not an entrepreneurial mind. They're not looking at all these ideas and saying, yes, let's go with this next one. No, they are slow, methodical, and steady. They want consistency. They want predictability. And that is needed, right? That predictability and consistency is needed when you're running a center. Could you imagine if the director every single day came in and spewed a new idea at the teachers? Like, that would be crazy. They serve as a filter between you and everyone else. But we have to give them permission to actually do their jobs, which is to be consistent and predictable and follow like what they have to be doing. But if every single month you're coming and giving them new initiatives, that's exhausting. Another component of invisible labor, and this is for the visionaries out there, is practicing restraint. And I don't think our industry gives enough credit to the exhaustion and mental load that it takes to practice restraint in the industry. So for example, I'll give you my example from our company. So there's three departments, let's say, in our business, right? We have marketing, operations, and client delivery. And any given day, I can see what's happening in all the departments, right? If I open my social channel, I see what the marketing department's doing. If I'm, you know, logging into our database and metrics dashboard, I can see what's happening in operations. If I log into the client portfolio, I can see, you know, what are our clients doing. I log into the Facebook group, I see what's going on, right? So I can have visibility into what's happening in every department. And let me tell you, from my position of leadership, there are dozens of things that I could give feedback on in every department every single day. This could be done this way. I like it done this way. Like, tell me what's going on over here. I think this could be a good idea. Like, I could do that all day long. And I could be busy with that all day long. I will also drive my team crazy and they will all leave because no one wants to work in a company like that. Practicing restraint is understanding. And this is such a hard skill. And this is an emerging skill. This is not, me sharing this with you is by no means me saying I have mastered this at all. This is such a learning curve for me. I've gotten so much better in the last 2 years, but my gosh, is this still a learning curve? It's practicing restraint in saying, is this something that I actually need to give feedback on? Is this something that truly moves the needle in the business and really has a correlation with company values and the vision of the company that I actually have to go and tell my marketing person, please change this or please do this differently, right? Or is it just, I would love to see it differently, or it would be nice if it was like this, or whatever it is. Restraint is such an underlooked skill in leadership. Because you are privy to so much information and because you see the bigger picture, there's always going to be something that you think could be done better or corrected. But if you give feedback on every single thing, you cripple your team's ability to actually think and be their own leaders of their departments. And this is really hard work. And it is invisible labor. It's invisible labor because when I see something, I have to pause and work through that in my head and be like, okay, do I actually want to give feedback on this? Is this just, you know, sitting funny with me? Does this require like a quick message? Is this like actually something I need to call cadence for and call a meeting? That takes time. I have to think through those things. That's invisible labor. That's cognitive labor associated with decision-making because I'm going to make a decision now if I want to call this person in and give them feedback on something. So when you think of that, you're like, oh, it's just whatever. I just popped my head in and I just, you know, told the teacher to like do X, Y, and Z. No, every time you give your opinion on something, you poach ownership. Every time you give your opinion on something, you are potentially poaching ownership. So we want ownership. We want the person to own the decisions. We want the person to own their department. We want the person to be in charge, but we keep coming in and giving our 2 cents on every single thing. So how can the person fully own what they're supposed to be doing? They can't. This is invisible labor. Let's go further. And I know that some of you might be listening to this and feeling like, my gosh, like this is a lot of information. And like, I didn't realize I'm doing this and I didn't realize I'm doing that. That's the beauty of this episode, right? Again, the goal of these podcast episodes is to elevate your mindset. It's to have you look at things from a different perspective. It's not about making you second guess your leadership or second guess what you're doing. It's about you stepping back and saying, that's really interesting. Connie said that. Let me take some time to reflect on that. Let me see how that's showing up in my leadership. Let me see how that's showing up with my leadership team. Maybe in my next group meeting that I'm having with my team, I can actually present this concept to them and ask them for some feedback, right? There is so much power in taking the time to be reflective on our decision-making and how we're showing up as leaders. Okay, so let's go a little bit further. Where else do we see the invisible labor of decision-making? Decision-making fatigue, right, really, really underscores the limited capacity of our cognitive resources. So as we progress throughout the day, the quality of our decisions gradually deteriorates because there is a culmination of mental strain of so many choices, okay? And so it results in impulsive decision-making or avoidance of making decisions towards like the end of the day. And so to mitigate decision-making fatigue, we have to really consider implementing strategies that streamline our decision-making, right? Simplifying routines, batching things together. And I'm going to give you some ideas in a moment on like how to really streamline decision-making. Because if you just haphazardly fly by the seat of your pants, you're going to be exhausted. You are going to be exhausted, which is going to lead to burnout. Eventually, you're not going to be able to do it anymore. You may be listening to you like, no, I'm fine. That's great. You're fine until you're not fine. So let's talk about the emotional toll of the invisible load of decision-making, okay? Emotional factors really, really cast a significant shadow on our decision-making landscape. So what are some emotional factors? Well, FOMO, fear of missing out, societal expectations, personal biases. All of these emotions can cloud our judgment and skew our perceptions and really steer us away from making decisions that are aligned with our values. And so we really have to think of what are better ways to manage the emotional influences of our decision making, right? How do we actually do this a little bit better? And I'm going to share some strategies in a moment. And then the final thing is the information overload. Right? So the digital age has brought in so much information. And so many of you are part of like dozens of Facebook groups, tons of masterminds, like all these conversations. You're like, I just want to hear everything. No, be disciplined. Amateurs want to hear everything. The pros know where to get their information from. They come to very specific vetted resources and places where they're like, this is where I want to go to get really good information. And hopefully this podcast is one of those vetted places where you're like, yes, I need to come here every week to get the information from this podcast. But again, there's so many places that you could go for information and you want to be discerning about where you're getting information from. So, because again, too much information leads to decision paralysis. So how do we work with all of these things? Step one, awareness. Recognize when decision-making fatigue is setting in, right? If you notice that the quality of your decision-making is declining, pause and be like, you know what? I actually can't make this decision today. I will make this decision tomorrow when I'm feeling fresh again. Give yourself permission to do that. All right, how else do we streamline decision-making? We simplify routines. We streamline daily routines to reduce the number of decisions, right? So you have a regular morning routine where it's like, okay, these are all the things that I do on autopilot. You might be doing meal planning or you set specific times for certain activities. This is what batching looks like, right? Where you group similar decisions together. So you make them all at once. This is what we teach inside of Foundations, inside of our Director's Inner Circle and our Owners HQ program in the Foundations, where we teach you how to optimize your calendar and really create your ideal week. One of the skills that we teach you how to do is really how to batch decisions and how to time block things, because the other piece is knowing how to prioritize important choices. So knowing how to reserve mental energy for significant decisions that matter and delegate and automate smaller decisions whenever possible. So these are critical things that we teach inside of the Foundations. Right when you join in the first 60 days of joining the program, we teach you these things because this is critical to avoid decision-making fatigue. Another thing that we do, and this is something we do in the survival stage once you join the program, is utilizing decision-making frameworks. So we have specific decision-making frameworks and guidelines that help you make decisions aligned with your goals and values. The frameworks provide structure, direction, and it helps making choices more efficient. And so this is how we help you prioritize what decisions you need to be making. We also have something called the Priorities Reset Call, which is every quarter, all of our members get on and I guide the conversation and facilitate helping our leaders make the right decisions for the quarter using our decision-making frameworks. So these are just some powerful ways to avoid decision-making fatigue that comes with the cognitive and emotional labor of invisible decision-making. Okay, the emotional labor. How do we work with the emotional labor of making decisions? Well, the first thing is pause and reflect. Before making decisions, take a moment to assess your emotional state. Are you making this decision out of fear, out of social pressure, or out of real generosity. Creating awareness helps you make more authentic choices. Okay. How else do we work with the emotional toll? Seek external perspective. Discuss your decision-making with a trusted mentor or a peer group. External input really provides insights and offer different perspective on the emotional aspects of your choices. This is also where sometimes when you're making a decision that can have severe implications on your mental health, talking with a mental health professional can be a huge part of making really good decisions. And so this is why we have partnered with BetterHelp for our members in our leadership programs. BetterHelp is an online mental health platform where we partner our members with mental health professionals, and our clients get the first 30 days free, and then they get, you know, discounted sessions so that they can connect with mental health professionals to help them work through the emotional side of decision-making. There's a lot of mental part of decision-making. So these are some of the strategies that really help us take time to understand the invisible labor that goes into leading, that goes into decision-making, that goes into all of the choices that we have to be making. And when you listen to this episode and you're thinking, my gosh, there are so many things that I could do. There are so many, you know, different strategies I want to implement. Let's talk a little bit about some steps of what we can actually do practically and come back and listen to this episode. The first thing I want you to think about is setting time limits, allotting specific times for making decisions, right? This is where setting boundaries to prevent, you know, other stimuli from coming in and setting time limits of like, okay, today is Tuesday. By Friday, I need to make a decision if we are going to apply for this next grant or if we are going to hire this person. And so tomorrow between 10 and 10:30, I am going to take time in my office uninterrupted with my door closed, and I'm going to review the person's resume. I'm going to do some research and I'm going to sit with my emotions, sit in my discomfort and recognize, do I want to hire this person or not? I'm going to take the time to think about it. Let's talk about some other steps. Other thing to think about when you're looking at the invisible labor of decision-making, practice digital detoxes, setting specific times where you do not consume screens, notifications, information, technology, all of these things. They help take away the overload in your brain, which ensures you have more brain capacity to make decisions. Okay. You don't realize the impact of it until you actually stop doing it. And when you stop doing it, your life gets better. You don't go back. So I want to end with this, okay? Your choices are not done on solitary islands, okay? All of the decisions you make are manifestations of all the invisible labor that you need to go through to make a particular decision. And so whether you choose to simplify your routines, manage emotional influences, or you start harnessing the power of informed choices, I hope after today's episode, you have the tools to navigate this giant landscape of decision-making with confidence and more intention. So thanks so much for joining me. Please let us know in our Facebook group or sending us a DM or an email if you have further questions about the invisible labor of decision-making, because we'd love to continue the conversation with you. Thanks so much for joining.
If you are loving the Schools of Excellence podcast and have gotten any value out of it for your school, I would love if you can do two things for me. One, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And two, can you please leave us a review? Reviews help other school leaders know that this is the place to learn how to build a school of excellence. And I would be so grateful if you can do that for us. Your help and support makes this show to be able to be listened by the thousands of other school leaders all around the world. Thanks so much for listening, for giving us your time and attention each and every week. And I appreciate that you have joined us.
Hey there, I want to invite you to join me for the Strategic Summer Workshop on Thursday, May 30th at 11:30 Eastern. You can click the link in the show notes or go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer. In this workshop, I'm going to walk you through how to optimize your already efficient systems or help you tweak some ones that need a little bit more tweaking to help you enter the 2024-2025 school year with ease, with success, and with calmness. Increase your profitability, reduce your expenses, and more than anything, just help you buy back some of your time. I look forward to seeing you there.